Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes, dude. Good evening.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Just another Sunday night on Static Radio.
Now, I was depressed last Sunday, but this Sunday is even worse because now the Angels are officially out.
We are officially done. Our baseball season is over.
Yeah.
Thanks, Angels.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. So much for
you
your
guys,
never-ending awesomeness.
You guys are the reason there's an empty pill of Vicodin in my
head. Oh, man. And we're kicking it off with a bang. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me in studio, as always, the
Dude,
Nate Heitzig.
We're going to have fun tonight.
Yeah, tonight's going to be a good evening. Get your questions in now. If you don't know what Shock Therapy Live is, basically, it is a one-hour call-in show centered around you, your questions, your phone calls, your emails, your Facebooks.
Yeah, all you narcissistic, self-absorbed people out there, this show's for you. It's all about you, your needs, what's going on in your life.
Stop it, dude. You want people to call in or not?
Hey, I just think we're just contributing to the culture.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, man. All right.
Hey,
well,
go get some Burger King, have it your way, and then call in to Shock Therapy and get your questions answered about your life.
And for everyone
going on with you.
For everyone who wasn't totally deterred from actually calling in by Nate just now, it's 505-338-3700. Or you can Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
And if you were deterred, put your big boy pants on, become an adult.
There you go.
Then call in.
Wow. Or email us if you'd like to stay anonymous. It is studio@mystaticradio.com. Dude, last week, monstrous show.
It was awesome. We had fun.
We had about 1,000 questions, and we didn't get a chance to get to all of them, so I would love to start with a couple of the email questions we had last week. In fact, if you missed a part of last week's show or shows in the past, you can check it out at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylife. I was talking to Buck and Dex this week.
Yeah.
They are podcasting our show.
Are they really?
Yeah.
They're downloading and listening to it?
Yeah. Dex said you were
insane
last week, pretty much.
What does that mean?
He just said you were crazy, and he said he hasn't laughed that loud in a long time.
Ha!
You were making him laugh.
Ha ha ha!
And stressing me out!
Ha ha!
Anyway.
Hey, it's fun because I actually... Last week, after the show was over, I was wondering what was going on, so I checked, and sure enough, my filter was off.
Yeah.
It was off. It's actually broken. I need to find a new one. If you guys know where I can get a filter, I tried the vacuum store. They don't sell the right size. So, hey, we're just going to run with what we got.
Would that be the brain-to-mouth filter, or would that be the...
Just
which
all
filter?
Of it. It's just all kind of broke. It's kind of like a water filtration system. There's a lot of parts. It's really complicated. All I know is it's broken.
There you go. So. All right. Well, if you'd like to chime in, 505-338-3700, you can Facebook us, as I said, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, to get your question in. Now,
or if you want to punch us in the face, you can come to 4001 Osuna Road Northeast.
Yeah.
Take a swing.
You may by the end of the night. You never know. Nate's
just so you know,
I sometimes want to punch myself in the face sitting
just
next
so
to you.
You know, though, fair warning, I pack heat. So a gangsta's got his gat. If you want to mess, bring it on.
Wow. And on that, we're going to get to your questions. Melissa on Facebook, she actually asked this question last week, so I wanted to get to this one first. She said, hey, thanks you guys. Thanks for letting Brian call in. Her husband, I believe, probably called in last week.
Oh, she's the one who wrote in all caps.
Ah.
And I wanted to know what she was
that
saying.
That is hilarious.
She's
that
all
you
caps
remember
girl.
That.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. She actually did like a few posts before.
This is how I picture her talking. Hey, guys, thanks so much for answering my question. That's how people talk when they talk in all caps.
Well, she's got a serious question. She says, why does it seem like God is not there when you are really upset, dot, dot, ......
Hey, great question. Easy to answer, too. Simply because you're pushing him away. We're called to be even-tempered. We're called to not respond harshly. And what happens is when we have sinful anger within our lives, when we're upset, we're pushing away God from our lives. Just as we push away other people when we're angry. I know when I'm angry a lot of times, I don't want to listen to what my wife has to say. She says, hey, Nate, you're really angry because of this. My response is, you be quiet and let me be angry.
Your usually, face is angry.
Yeah, you know, we respond harshly. We're not even tempered when we're upset. And so because of that, we push away good counsel. And guess who has the best counsel? God. So when we're angry, when we're pissed off, we naturally want to push God away from our lives because we really don't want to hear what he has to say. And it's not just anger that this comes into, but it's really any sin. Think about when we have sin in our lives, we don't want to hear about the sin in our lives.
Right.
And that's such an issue. You know, we see this in Galatians 19:21, anger is listed with a lot of other sins. And it says in Galatians 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we see that anger is listed on the same caliber as all those other sins, and it's just like any other sin. When we have it in our lives, we can often be blind to that sin and push God away. And this is the same situation with David. You know, David went through in the same list of sins with sexual immorality. He went through anger and murder was in that same list, and it wasn't until a guy named Nathan came and called him out on his sin that he realized what was going on and turned from his wicked ways. So the reason God doesn't seem like he's there in those times isn't because he's not there. It's because you're pushing him away and you don't want him in your life at that time.
Well, as you were talking at the beginning of the show, the self-centered, self-focused people of the world, that's exactly what you're doing. When your eyes are so squarely focused on your anger, on your whatever it may be, jealousy, greed, you are putting the focus on, when you're angry, it's yourself.
Yeah.
You're upset. I'm upset. I'm not happy. Where is God? I need. And you're absolutely taking your eyes away from him. So,
yeah. You know, I think about when I broke my leg and I was in the doctor's office. When I look back on that time, I can't remember when the doctor came in the room and asked me certain questions. All I can remember is my leg freaking hurt. And that's all that I know from that time, is that my leg really hurt. It was bad. And I don't really remember the doctors being there a whole lot. And the same is with times in our life when we're angry, when we're bitter. We look back and we say, well, where was God in those times? Well, he was there. You just didn't really want to see him. You just didn't really want to recognize it because you were so focused on yourself and your anger and your problems.
Right. There you go. 505-338-3700 if you'd like to ask a question. You can also Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or if you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can do so by emailing studio@mystaticradio.com. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Steve-O, and my partner in crime.
Your eminent.
Here, Pastor,
his eminence.
Pastor.
His eminence.
Heitzig.
No, my new name is His Eminence.
Yeah.
I am going to run for Pope. I'm going to pay someone to assassinate the Pope, and then I'm going to run for Pope. Can you run for Pope?
Too,
it's not like,
far!
It's not like a presidential campaign. You can't run for Pope, can you?
No.
I'm going to find a way to run for Pope.
There you go.
Okay. I've been watching The Borgias.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that show?
No.
It's all about like the popes and stuff in the 1700s.
Never even heard of it.
Well, dude,
I've been watching shows like Terra Nova and... You know,
if I get the right resources and the right corruption, I could become Pope.
There you go.
I
tend to stay away from shows like that and stick more with shows that have, say, dinosaurs, time travel, and laser guns.
That explains a lot. That's why you have Star Wars tattoos.
That's why I have Star Wars tattoos. Hey, speaking of Galatians, you were just talking about Galatians.
Yeah.
And in that, you actually mentioned witchcraft as one of the evil, you know, one of the, under the list of anger, jealousy, blah, 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 blah. Witchcraft, mm-hmm. Right? We got a question through our email, and it says, do you think that charms, necklaces, or inanimate objects can hold an evil or any type of spirit? Like a Horcrux?
Yeah, that's the first place that my mind went to, speaking of witchcraft. So is Voldemort's soul really inside that locket?
Well, is that possible? Like a voodoo doll or an inanimate object? Like, dude, I think my Batman toy is possessed.
No, I don't believe that an inanimate object can be possessed. Do I believe that Satan can get us to believe that they are? Yes. You know, one of Satan's goals is to trick us and get us off the scent of the truth. And so a lot of times what he'll do is he'll use objects like that. He'll use objects that we believe have special meaning or special value. And he'll use it to oppress believers and oppress people. And one way that he'll do that is if you believe something has that special power and you put that, that belief in that specific object, well, then Satan can oppress you and make you think that that power is coming from the object when it's really coming from him. Satan's goal is to, number one, get you to believe that he doesn't exist. Because if right. you believe that Satan doesn't exist, well, then he's going to be able to oppress you easier. And then number two, believe that God doesn't exist. So if he can get you to believe that power comes from an object rather than from him, then he can oppress you even more so and get you to take your focus off of him and off of God. So that's really one of Satan's goals. And we see demon possession is specifically reserved for people who have souls. Right. If you don't have a soul, you can't be demon possessed. You can't be, well, actually, I wouldn't say that because the pigs were demon possessed when Jesus sent the demons into the pigs.
So does that mean pigs don't have souls? Because
definitely.
Bacon is so tasty.
No. Okay. So, you know, but it has to be a living object that a demon can possess. It has to be someone that it can control, someone that it can make move and all that other stuff.
Is it weird that you just said pigs don't have souls and yet pork is like a soul food?
That was funny. That was a humor laugh, too.
Sorry.
Humor funny. That was a Matt Gentry joke.
That was terrible,
that was
and I apologize.
Can you admit
dude.
That was a Gentry joke?
Maybe
he would say to you.
Maybe I'm possessed with Matt's spirit.
Maybe.
That would be horrible. If that's the case, can you perform an exorcision? That would be my next question.
An exorcision?
Exorcism.
What is that? An exorcision.
You know what? I'm just going to stop talking tonight. I'm tired. It's the end of the weekend. I got the morning show to worry about tomorrow.
Dude, I'm going to exorcision you. What is that? I'm trying to think of what two words you would have. Possession? Maybe? Possession?
Or, yeah.
Exorcision? Possession? I don't know. Dude.
So, okay. Bottom line is, to answer their question, no, an inanimate object cannot be possessed? What about like Ouija boards or something crazy like that? Is that
once
really
once again, I feel like that's demon oppression, is that Satan
okay.
will use those objects. Is the demon inside there? No, but can they use those objects?
Okay.
Yes. You know, we see demons being able to use a lot of objects, but they're not possessed in the object.
Okay.
You know, they have power to move things. They have power to do a lot of stuff, but can they go inside the inanimate object? I don't believe so. I wish that there's a verse that I could reference to that.
Right, right.
But I do not believe that demons can possess inanimate objects.
Okay, good answer. So basically, if you're down in like Haiti doing mission work and you accidentally touch this doll, you're not going to be filled with the spirit of some witchcrafticism.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not dependent on that object. It's dependent on Satan. Now, once again, can Satan get you to believe that? Yes, maybe if you believe that object has demons inside of it and you touch it, well, then maybe Satan would use that as an opportunity to attack you so that you believe that you got possessed from that. But did you get possessed from that object? No, you got possessed from Satan. Once again, we have to keep in mind that demons are on another plane. They're not in this world. It's not like demons are floating around. If you touch something, oh man, that's going to be the conduit for a demon to come into your life.
Okay.
You know, this can be a question we have a lot, especially during Halloween.
Right.
Is the questions of, well, haunted houses. Can houses really be haunted? Can different things, can these objects really have evil with inside of them? No, I don't think they can any more than walking around in an everyday world can. Guess what? We live in a world where there is a constant spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And you want a real haunted house, you're walking through it on a daily basis. As there is the rulers and the principalities and the powers that be that are in this world that we have. So do certain objects have more demon possession than other ones? No, I don't believe so. Now, I do believe that certain areas can have more demon oppression than others. You know, that's evident in something we talked about last week of Daniel when he was having that angel come to him and it was stopped by the spirit, which is the Prince of Persia is what it was called. And
right.
it shows that there was a specific demon influence within the area of Persia at that time. So there can be certain areas that demons can definitely be in a higher concentrated area, I would believe. But can they be in that object? No. Can the house be filled with the demon? No. There could be a demon, you know, maybe inside that house, but not actually inside the wood of the house, I guess would be a better way to say it.
You're ruining horror movies for me. Thank you.
Oh.
I wanted to see that new Daniel Craig movie, and now I guess I'm not going to.
Was that, what's that about? I saw the previews for that.
Dream House or whatever, right? Is that what it's called? I don't know. I just know he was, they live in a house that's.
All I know is they've got Daniel Craig to be in it, so I kind of want to see it.
Right.
It adds a little bit of credibility to a horror movie.
Yeah.
That it's not a bunch of college students that are like skronking inside a house and, you know, they get killed by a serial killer. It's Daniel Craig. Dude, James Bond.
And there it is. Back to the Nate I know. And welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O.
That's the number one theme for a horror movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
College students skronking in the wilderness, and they get killed by somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether that's they get killed by a shark or an alligator or, you know, crazy guys with chainsaws.
So would that be a good thing that you could maybe show at a youth group for like an abstinence study? Be like, dude, look what happens. You're focused on your mate and you get your head cut off.
Why even do that? Just go straight to pornography.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Because what? Where would we?
Where do you draw the line?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
The sad part: if you had a purity conference where you showed that, unfortunately, it would be the most popular purity conference ever.
Yeah, probably.
What, the purity conference is playing horror movies and pornos? Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. Sadly, you're probably right, actually. So, all right. So, moving on. Next question. If you'd like to get a question in, 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio. Last week, we actually got a question from Laura, speaking of demon possession and spirits of evil. She was talking last week about secular music. We had a good conversation about secular music. Can we listen to secular music? Mm-hmm. And, she had asked a specific question and mentioned Marilyn Manson about that. She says, you know, last week, I sorry for wording my question wrong. What I was trying to ask is, how do you explain to a child that does not grasp the concept of religion how someone can turn bad or be bad and use their music to manipulate non-believers into believing that it's okay to do so, to be where they're at, basically. She says, I hope that you understand the question now. Just using Marilyn Manson as an example, God bless you both. So I think basically what she's saying is, how do you talk to a child about, say, I went and saw Blink-182 this last week. They used to be a band that talked primarily about, like, stupid fart jokes and childishness. Maybe she's saying, like, how do you talk to a child about the fact that maybe the ideologies of a song is kind of stupid sometimes and go against God, maybe?
I don't know. Based on what she said is, how do you explain to a child that someone can turn bad?
Right.
And that's the thrust of what I got. And I think the important thing to recognize is that people don't turn bad. People are bad.
Yeah.
And we're created and we're born into sin. And unless that sin is checked by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're not turning more and more bad. We're just bad.
Right.
It's like telling someone, hey, I'm in the darkness. Let me get a little bit more in the dark. Right. Well, you're already in the darkness. You're already living a dark lifestyle. So it doesn't really matter how dark you get. You're still in sin. And the penalty for sin, no matter what sin that is death.
Right.
So it's important to recognize that a band can't turn someone who's bad even more bad, because bad is bad.
Right.
Dark is dark. Black is black. You can't be a different shade of black.
Right.
You can't have light black and dark black and medium black. If you're black, okay, that's just
sin
almost
is sin
got
is
bad.
Sin.
Yeah,
unless
sin...
you're talking about Michael Jackson, black is black.
Wow.
Please
that was
try
fun.
And continue.
Okay, so oh, man.
Did I just train wreck your awesome training? You see what happens every single week? This is what you do to me like every 3 minutes.
I do, but so, I attempt to do it.
You're welcome.
I purposely do it.
You're welcome. Continue, please.
So sin is sin.
Yeah.
And trying to tell someone they're in a different shade of sin or a different shade of darkness, it's not possible, because all sin is leveled at the foot of the cross.
Right.
So music can't turn someone who already has a sinful lifestyle bad. And if someone has a true relationship with Jesus Christ, they're going to stay away from that music and they're going to stay away from those things.
Right.
So when I look at, for instance, let's just use The Freak, Marilyn Manson as a illustration. Do I believe that he ever had a real relationship with Jesus Christ? Personally, I don't. I think that probably he grew up in a Christian home and he did what his parents told him to.
Right.
And he went to church because his parents made him go to church. Do I think he ever had a real transforming relationship with Christ? No, because if he did, I don't believe he'd be where he is right now.
Right.
So obviously something happened where he didn't take part in the process of sanctification. So I don't think Marilyn Manson turned bad. I think he was born into sin, and that sin continued to control his lifestyle and never got controlled by Jesus Christ.
So getting back to it, because she says, how do you explain to a child that does not grasp the concept of religion how someone can turn bad? We, as you've said already, like, people don't turn bad. We are bad. We're born into sin. So how do you talk to a child about something like that? You're a pops now. You're a daddy. So when Seth comes of, you know, the age of 4, 5, 6, 7, how do you? I know obviously the Bible says train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's older he will not depart from that. So how do you talk to a child about that concept that we are born bad and that we do need redemption?
You know, I will sit my son down and say, look here, you little sinner. You are an evil little child. And unless you repent of your sins, you're going to go to hell. That's how I'm a person. No, I'm
no
just joking.
You're not.
You know, I think you do it. I think you do it tenderly. And I think a lot of the way you talk to a child, you do it through letting them know and letting them see your relationship and love for Christ through your actions. And then in doing so, there's eventually going to be a time when they're going to come to you. And I know for me, I came to my dad and it wasn't saying, hey, I'm sinful or where does sin come from? Cause that's not really the first place that you look to. The first place you look to is for an answer to say, how do I get saved? You know, I've seen right. this in your life. You talk about being saved. You talk about being a Christian. How do I be a Christian? And I think that's really realistically the first question that you get. Very seldomly does a kid come to you and say, hey, Dad, why is Marilyn Manson so bad?
Yeah. Hey, can we talk about the justification, sanctification for the process?
If your 5-year-old kid is asking why Marilyn Manson is bad, the question is, why are they watching Marilyn Manson? What are you doing with your kids? So, you know, I think you're training up a child in the way that they should go. And it's something you teach them over a long process, and you let them know that, hey, just because you go to church, you know, I think one way that you can do it is say, hey, just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian.
Right.
And let the kid know that. And hey, just because, what do you talk about in Sunday school today? Oh, we talked about this. Well, hey, you know, just going to Sunday school doesn't make you a Christian. And then maybe, you know, bring these thought-provoking questions out into their life from a young age and let it be a decision that they make. What you don't want to do is force them to accept Jesus Christ, because that might have been what Marilyn Manson's parents did. Right. And might have been one of the things that turned him away from God. So we want it to be their decision, just as Jesus gave us the chance to make the decision to accept him.
There you go.
And when it comes up, you deal with it. Right. You don't shy away from it. You just answer the question as to the way that the Bible says it. And don't try to lie to your kids. If they say, hey, Dad, how do people turn bad? Don't try to flirt around it. Just be honest. Say, hey, people are born into sin. And unless they have Jesus Christ, they're bad. And,
right.
and that's just, you know, what the Bible says, and answer it as simply as possible.
There you go. All right, dude. Thank you for the email question, Laura. We'll get to more of your questions right around the corner. Got to take a quick break, but you are listening to Shock Therapy Live. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 505-338-3700. You can also chime in at our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or, as we've gotten a lot of emails tonight, we got a few more right after this. You can email us, studio@mystaticradio.org. We'll be right back.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? Yes? Build a bridge and get over it. Or better yet, chime in now on facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Thank you, big voice guy.
Yes.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live
with your host, The Eminence, and Steve-O.
Are you really going to go by The Eminence now?
I'm thinking about it.
It almost sounds like you're saying a rapper plurally.
Maybe His Eminence. His Eminence.
I just want to go eat some chocolate-covered candies.
His Eminence, the great.
The grandiose?
Ooh.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You have to come up with, if you're going to come up with a name, it's got to be a name that has your name in it somewhere.
Pepe.
No, because you need like, find something that rhymes with Nate, the great, like, I don't know. Shock Therapy Live. If you'd like to chime in on the conversation, 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio. We've gotten a lot of emails tonight. And
yes.
If you'd like to email us, you can do so, studio@mystaticradio.com. And you ready to get right back into this?
I'm ready.
My friend? All right. We got a question from Rebecca who asked, does God get mad at us? I know the Bible says that he's slow to anger, but sometimes I feel like he's mad when I continue to fall away from the life he has for me. And if he does get mad, what would that look like in our lives? So I guess two questions. First of all, does God get mad at us?
Romans 1:18 says, okay, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness
I'm like, what?
Against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness.
Okay.
Also, Mark 3:5 says, he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. So we have two instances there of God saying that he's either angry or that he has wrath towards people. Now, I want to point out that his wrath will never overshadow any one of his other attributes. We have to keep in mind that God is infinite, and he's on a plane that we're not at. And so when we look at his attributes, we can't let any one of his other attributes overshadow another one.
Right.
And a lot of people have a lot of problems with this, and that's why we have different weird religions that spread out, because they focus on one attribute rather than his other. So we have to keep in mind that, yes, God does have anger and God does have wrath, but his wrath and his anger will never supersede his grace, his mercy, and his love.
Right.
And God will always love us and accept us the way we are, but he demands us to change.
Right.
And it says, I think it's important to say there, that he was angry and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, right, is what he was angry at. He wasn't angry with them per se. He wasn't angry at them, but he was angry at the fact that their hearts were not being open to the gospel. He was angry at the fact that their hearts were being hardened and turning away from the one true God.
Right.
And so it's kind of what we say, is that we hate the sin, but we love the sinner. And that stems from who God is
right,
that God hates our sin. He's angry at our sin, but he loves us and he's willing to accept us.
Could I equate it this way? My sons, they're boys. You have a boy now. Just wait until they're potty trained.
You hate your kids?
You think...
you hate your kids, you Steve-O?
You think it gets easier once they're potty trained.
Man.
But let me tell you about something that happens over and over and over. There's this little handle to the left of the toilet that is called the flusher thingy. I don't know what it's called. What is that thing called?
I don't know.
The toilet handle? What is that called? I'm going to Google it. Anyways, and it's for some reason, apparently, like the last segment we were talking about things being possessed, apparently they think it's got an evil spirit in it because they don't like touching that after they use the bathroom.
Hypochondriacs,
right?
I'm okay with that. I feel you. I don't touch the flush mechanism inside the urinal. No way.
Yeah, but this is our home, dude. Okay, so
they don't know if you wipe your feces on it, Steve-O.
Oh man. Regularly, okay? Me as a father, I go into their bathroom and it always smells like pee. Like, it just does, because one of them, or the other one, because I have two boys, they forget to flush. And it makes me mad, because I've told them over and over and over and over again, dude, hey guys, when you use the bathroom, make sure you flush. Can you guys just make sure, it's so simple, it's so easy, can you guys just flush the toilet? Yeah, Dad, we love you, no problem, you're the greatest dad in the world. Oh, thanks, guys, I love you guys, too, you're the greatest kids in the world. Can you just please flush the toilet? And then I go in there, and it smells like a urinal cake, and I get angry, and I have to flush the toilet. So can I equate that to God in a sense that we're his kids, and over and over and over again, he tells us, hey, guys, it's not that hard. In fact, it's really, really easy. I even sent my son to be the model and show you how simple it is and how wonderful and how amazing. And we don't get it. And then we're all like filled with urinal cake smell.
So what you're saying is that God hates the smell of pee.
Yes.
Asparagus pee.
Yes. Pee
God
smells like,
hates
sin
the smell
smells
of
like
asparagus
pee.
Yeah. You know, I have that same smell whenever I go to the bargain section at Goodwill. I smell that same thing and it makes
me go.
Angry too.
Yeah. There you
no,
go.
No, you know, I guess if you had to put if you had to put human terminology on it, yes, it's just like your kids, that when your kids do something that you tell them not to do over and over again, you get angry.
Yeah.
And not necessarily with them, but with the decisions that they're making.
Right.
Nothing's ever going to change the love that you have for your kid, but you're mad at the life decisions that they're making.
Right.
Whether that be not flushing their urinal cakes, or whether that be growing up and becoming a drug addict. You know, we get angry at the decisions that people make, not with the people themselves.
Well, and it's funny, to get back to your question, Rebecca, does God get mad at us? You know, she says, I know the Bible says that he's slow to anger. Sometimes I feel like he's mad when I continue to fall away from the life he has for me. And there is that anger, as you've just talked about. I think of Daniel. I've been doing a study in the book of Daniel, and it's so funny because a lot of people will say, dude, the Old Testament, God of wrath, and New Testament, God of love, and it's two totally different. And it's like, I don't see that. I see this God who, man, how many times did he show Nebuchadnezzar his awesomeness? Whether it was through eating vegetables and, you know, Daniel's looking better and, wow, your God's awesome. And then delivering them from the fire, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not Abednego. Or, you know, over and over, Nebuchadnezzar saw God's glory and he'd still go right back to like, wow, God, you are amazing. By the way, I need an altar like 1,800 feet high of myself. Oh, I gotta get humbled again? I'm gonna get turned into a goat now? Okay, sweet. Oh, God, so awesome. Hey, by the way, and we just keep falling away.
The bunny. Oh, I love the bunny.
Over and over and over again, we just keep acting like fools, and we go back to our sin, and we go back to our stupidity. And so, does God get mad at that? Well, I think he's frustrated.
You know, I think it's Romans 1:18 what it says. Yeah. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against godlessness and wickedness of men. It doesn't say the wrath of God is being revealed against men who practice godlessness and wickedness. Right. It's against the godlessness and wickedness of men. Yeah. So he's not angry at the men. He's angry at the things that they're practicing. He's angry at their godlessness, their wickedness. That's what he's mad at, not the men.
And I would just say this, Rebecca, to answer your question. You know, she says, I know the Bible says that he's slow to anger, but sometimes I feel like he's mad when I continue to fall away from the life he has for me. And sometimes when we fall away from the life God has for us, whatever that may be, that means we're making some stupid decision. That means we're probably making a ridiculous mistake in our lives, no matter how small, whether it's like, dude, I just want to smoke this bowl, or it's not going to hurt anybody. Well, one, there's the first consequence immediately is you're going to have the munchies. You're probably going to stink. You're going to talk like an idiot. Yeah, there's a lot more than that. You're going to lose a lot of brain cells. You're probably going to start surfing and listening to Switchfoot and looking like Nate Heitzig.
Everything you're saying sounds like a positive right now. So I'm trying to find out where this is going of when it's going to become a negative.
The bottom line is there are consequences to everything. So sometimes I think we have this picture in our brain like God is this karma God, to where it's like, if I, A equals B, like if I do this.
It's the Bruce Almighty God. God is a big bully sitting over an anthill burning ants with a magnifying glass. Yeah. And I'm the ant.
Right. And that's not the case. Sometimes it's just because of your stupid mistakes. There are consequences to our actions, no matter how big, no matter how small. You know,
when my kid does something stupid right now, he hurts himself, he falls on the ground, hits his face, or the dog bites him, he cries and immediately he looks at me.
Right.
He looks at me and he cries at me like I did it. And I'm like, dude, you're the stupid one who decided to climb the bookshelf and then it was going to be a good idea to jump off the bookshelf onto the desk and fall to the ground and then let the dog paw you in the face. How is that my fault? But he looks at me.
Because you're a parent and you shouldn't let your King Kong son climb your bookshelf?
Hey, you got to learn sometime, right?
So he's like 7 weeks old.
He is over a year old now. And he happens to have superpowers.
You're like, he needs to get a job, honestly. He's like a year and a half, bro. I don't know when he's going to get a job.
I only make him do the weeds once a week.
I hear what you're saying.
And when he doesn't flush the potty, I put his hand on the stove. Hey, if he associates flushing the potty, potty with hot things, he's going to flush the potty.
Oh, wow. You're just getting deeper and deeper. All right.
No, but when my kid does something, he looks at me in anger at me as though I were to cause it.
Exactly.
And we do the same thing with God. We make mistakes and we fall and we get hurt because of those mistakes. And oftentimes we can look at God and blame God for the mistakes. And God looks at us and says, hey, you're the idiot who decided to do that. How is that my fault?
Right.
And he does so in love and grace and mercy, just as a parent would with a son or a daughter picking that son or daughter up after they fall. But he wants us to learn from our mistakes and he wants us to realize that. And it's not that God's angry with us, more that he's disappointed with the decisions that we're making.
And as you said at the very beginning, one attribute of God does not supersede the other. I think of the prodigal son immediately and I get teary-eyed because I think of this father who not only walks outside and sees him, but like books it towards his son, wraps his arms around him. He is a loving, gracious, merciful God. And yeah, we make a lot of stupid mistakes at times. And yeah, he does get angry at those stupid mistakes and the sin that we bring about in our lives because of our stupidity sometimes. But
Steve, let's talk about that. Let's hash that out. You know, you just said you're getting teary.
Dude, I get
tearful.
What
is that makes you tearful?
I think it is absolutely dumbfounding how amazing God's love, grace, mercy is, and how undeserving we are. And it frustrates me to no end that a lot of people make mistakes and walk away and then say, you know what, I'm too far gone. This is where I'm at. I don't want to have to clean anything up right now. You know what? God's probably too busy anyways. And they just stay away when he's like waiting expectantly, looking out the window for us to turn around and walk our butts back home and admit that we made a mistake so that he can wrap his arms around us and love us.
So what you're saying is you hate people.
You are fired from life. Oh, man. So, Rebecca, I hope that helps you for whatever it's worth. Also, second part to her question we never even answered. If he does get mad, what would that look like in our lives? His anger.
Well, I think that would be consequences to sin.
There you go.
Just as consequences for when a child sins, you would spank them or you would discipline them or give them a timeout. And that is a response to the sins and to the mistakes that we're making in a way that God corrects our sins and mistakes.
All right.
And you know, it's almost what your parents tell you when you're a little kid. This hurts me more than it hurts you. I do this because I love you.
Right.
And when you hear that, you want to punch them in the face. But realistically, it's true. When they're doing that, they're doing it because they love you, because they don't want you to turn out to be a little monster.
Right.
You know, if sin's left unchecked, then that little kid who thinks that it's okay to steal and get what he wants is going to turn out to be a little murderer and a rapist. So if you let kids just do whatever they want, well, then they're never going to change from who they are. So it's the same thing that God does, is he disciplines us and he brings that godly discipline into our lives so that we are bettered by it and so that we become a more respectable person.
I can't wait till Jack is like 20 years old and I can tell him this story, because there was a time where that literally happened. I sat him down on the bed and I'm like, dude, you broke the rules. You know you're not allowed to hit. And because you broke the rules, I have to spank you. And this breaks my heart and this hurts me way more. And I just, you know, I was like trying to explain to him and he's like crying. Actually, Dad, I don't know if you knew this, but your spankings actually really hurt me more. I can't wait to tell him that when he's like 20 years old. Anyways, all right, we got more questions. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. If you'd like to chime in, 505-338-3700. You can also email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, or Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We got an anonymous email. This is a big one. How about this one? If a woman is married to a man with a pornography addiction and looking at a woman with lust in his heart is quote unquote cheating, like the Bible says, can that woman leave her marriage? I guess because the Bible says that if a man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he's committed adultery. So does that give her cause, or can she? I guess is what they're trying to say.
I'm not going to answer that question.
I'm
not going to answer the question simply on this basis.
Okay.
What that answer is, with a question to that answer, is it's a catch-22.
Right.
You're asking me to either give you permission to get a divorce from your husband or your wife, and that's not the heart that we should have.
Right.
The number one heart within any marriage, and even if someone has committed adultery and lust, when we counsel somebody, we always say that the goal of the counseling is to mend the marriage, not to break up the marriage. So what you're asking for is an excuse to not patch things and to not fix things within your marriage, which is an ungodly basis to start off in the first place. It's someone saying, well, hey, I'm trying to find an excuse to divorce my husband. So he looked at porn, and he's looked at porn before. Does that mean that I can divorce him because he committed adultery? And it's looking for an excuse to get within a divorce. Now, if someone comes in and they're addicted to pornography and they're refusing to give up pornography and they're saying, pretty much giving the middle finger to the church and saying, hey, I don't care what you guys think. Well, then in that situation, in that case, we might bring up that verse and say, hey, you need to know that the lust in your heart, God equates to adultery. And on that basis, your wife has the right to divorce you. And to bring that fact and bring that situation into light so that the guy realizes, oh man, I got to change my ways because this is a lot more serious than I thought. But when there's forgiveness and when there is a heart to mend a marriage, the place to start off is how can we fix this, not how can we break it up.
I second that and agree with you 100%. As someone who has dealt with this very issue, God is a God of restoration, of reconciliation, and to be looking for an excuse like that, I 100% agree with you. Because as the Bible said, Jesus said it himself when the Pharisees were trying to trick him, like, hey, didn't Moses allow certificates of divorce for, and Jesus said, man, from the beginning it wasn't so, but because of your hardness of heart, because of your stupidity, basically, because of your idiocies, it was allowed, but from the beginning it wasn't so. It's always been designed for one man, one woman. Marriage is the first institution established. I mean, before God established the church, he established marriage. And so, I've been really dealing with a very good friend of mine who's going through an issue, not closely related, but about, you know, a similar issue. And it's like, God is a God of restoration. God can mend all things. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, God can heal all wounds. Yeah. And
in asking a question like that, you're looking for a broad answer where there really isn't a broad answer. It's something where if you're dealing with that, you need to go into a counselor, you and your wife, you guys need to sit down together, and each situation, is individual and needs to be addressed on an individual basis. There's not a broad answer to that your husband looked at porn, but let's say it was 6 years ago and you found it out today that he looked at porn. Should you go and divorce him? No, I don't believe you should, because it shows that there's been restitution and restoration in his life. And it's something that, you need to have the same forgiveness for him as what God has for you, and recognize that. So there's a difference between sinning once and letting that sin control your life and not being repentant of sin. So the question is the sin repented of? Has it been restored, and are they looking to progress? And if all those things are in place, then the question shouldn't be, can I divorce him? But the question should be, how can I stay happily married to him?
Dude, great answer. There you go. 505-338-3700 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in on Shock Therapy Live. We have to take a quick break, but coming back, we got an amazing question about marriage, living together, children. Pretty interesting.
Hopefully we have enough time to answer it.
Yeah, I know. We'll get to that right after the break, as well as your questions, comments, whatever. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or send us an email, studio@MyStaticRadio.com.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. Leave your comment on tonight's topic at facebook.com/mystaticradio or call 505-338-3700. You're still listening? Good, because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. I am your host, Steve-O, and sitting across from me tonight, it's weird. Because we're like staring at each other in studio, Pastor Nate.
I like looking into your eyes.
Oh, man, I'm going to smack you.
I see tenderness.
It is.
I see tenderness in your eyes.
Oh, man. If you are just joining us and you've missed a portion of the show, make sure you get to mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. We podcast the show each and every week, and I get them up bright and early Monday morning. And so it will be available. You can also subscribe to our podcast at iTunes. Just look for Shock Therapy Live, and it'll download directly to you, sir. Do you podcast our show?
Do I podcast the show?
Come on, dude. It's our show. You got to support us.
Yeah, of course I do.
You got to support you. I'm just kidding. Yeah, so get there. It is mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. Show based around your calls, your questions, your comments. We've had some crazy questions tonight.
We have. We've had crazy questions since the conception of Shock Therapy.
But you know what?
Have we ever had a normal show?
Define normal, because I tell you what, I say this to Matt every Monday morning after the show. I'm like, dude, Sunday night is my favorite hour of radio I do. I absolutely love the show because we're doing something I feel that is different. The church doesn't necessarily talk about pornography addiction or, you know, cutting. Some of the things that we've talked about over the past few shows. If you have a question about, man, whether it's addiction to heroin or cutting or respecting governing authorities. I mean, we've talked about pretty much anything and everything.
You know, someone asked me, they said, hey, tell me about Shock Therapy. Like, what do you guys talk about? And I had a really hard time talking to them. I thought, well, give me an instance of a question that was asked and how you answered it.
Yeah.
And I had a really hard time because I was like, I don't know if I can talk about that with
you
if that's okay for me to say the things that I need to say to you.
Right.
So my response was, hey, go listen to the podcast. That'll explain to you a lot better
exactly.
what we talk about.
That being said, nothing is off limits.
Yeah.
We are open to talk about anything and everything.
Except for cats. I don't like cats.
Oh, dude, high five right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a cat person either. My wife's allergic to cats, so I don't have that issue because she doesn't like cats either, so.
I don't want to talk about fecal matter either.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Don't call in and ask questions about your stools because I don't want to talk about that.
Well, we had a weird chemistry question last week from Kayla. That was kind of off subject.
And don't ask me questions about boils or sores on your body either because I don't want to talk about that. So.
It is shock therapy.
So there
live.
Are some things that I don't want you to call in and
there
talk
about. There
you go.
You can ask away. We've had some crazy questions.
We'll
and
just
you
hang
know
up
what?
On you.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Nothing is off limits. Shock Therapy Live, here for you.
Don't say pus either. I don't want you to talk about
man.
Pus. I'm just
Nate
getting it clear. We said you can call about anything, but there's certain things I don't want you to talk about.
And
so.
if you are ever in a place where you're listening and you're like so offended, the email address is skip. That's SKIP at I'm just kidding.
Skip at idontcarewhatyouthinkaboutme.com.
This is Shock Therapy Live. I'm your host, Steve-O, and as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig across the desk from me. And taking
send
your
emails
questions,
to Nathan
your calls,
at gocryaboutit.org.
There you go. We actually got an amazing question. Are you ready for this one, my friend? This is a big one. It's an anonymous email. It said, question for Shock Therapy. In my early 20s and have two kids, my boyfriend and I have been together for over 2 years, and he's the father of my younger child and also accepts my older one as his, though she's not. We live together, and he supports us while I'm a stay-at-home mom. My question is it wrong for us to be living together since we're not married, even if we're no longer sexually active? Also, he's not a believer, but is very open and okay with me being one, as well as teaching our kids to be. Would it be wrong for me to marry him because he's not? Would really appreciate some advice, guys. Thanks and God bless. Okay, so.
Huge, okay. Huge question.
So she has two kids. Younger one is his, the older one isn't, but. He takes her as their own. They live in a house together, and he supports her because she's a stay-at-home mom. Question is, here's the question.
Okay, I have the question.
Is it wrong for us to be living together since we're not married, even if we're no longer sexually active?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. We're told that we're to avoid all appearances of evil.
Right.
And when you're living with a boyfriend that you had a kid with, that's an appearance of evil. And you can say that you're remaining sexually pure. But I highly doubt it, and I highly doubt that he's willing to support you and keep you in your home if you are remaining sexually pure. There's a possibility, but the thrust of it is that you're not avoiding an appearance of evil.
Okay.
And it looks bad, and we're supposed to avoid that appearance of evil within that relationship.
So let's take her at her word. Like she says, they're not sexually active, and so let's say even if that's the case,
Still wrong. Causing
okay.
other believers to stumble, causing other people to look at you and think bad of you and also bad of Jesus Christ because of the situation that you're putting yourself in.
Okay, now second question. Okay. Also, he's not a believer, but is very open and okay with me being one, as well as teaching our kids to be. Would it be wrong for me to marry him because he's not a believer?
Yes.
Okay.
The Bible tells us to not be unequally yoked.
Okay.
And marrying a non-believer is being unequally yoked. Now, a few things that are intricacies about this, and I will first of all say, for anything else, you need to go see a counselor.
Okay.
As soon as possible, you need to find a church counselor, you need to find someone you can go to and talk about this, because there's a lot of stuff in here that I'm sure we're not even able to hit.
Right.
And things that aren't even presented in the email that need to be addressed. One of which, there is common law marriage, that in certain states, if you've lived with someone for a certain period of time, you are by law married to that person.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's the case here in New Mexico or how long that is, but there is common law marriage. So if that's the case and you're a Christian and that person's a non-Christian, if by common law marriage you've been married, well, then it is a sin to divorce them. We're told in the Bible that even if you're married to somebody who isn't a believer, it's still wrong to divorce them.
If
so,
they're wanting to stay in the marriage, right?
So we need to look at that situation. But what I would say is what you need to do is you said that he's supporting you and your family and that you guys aren't married.
Yeah, she's a stay-at-home mom.
So what you need to ask him is say, hey, you support me in my relationship with Christ and you support the way that I'm raising the kids. Will you continue to support that if we don't live together? Will you be willing to support me if we spend time apart? Obviously, we can still date. We can still be friends, but not live together because I believe that in my relationship with Christ, that's wrong. And if you support me, then you'll support the decisions that I'll make. And then what I would say is share the gospel with him. You know, present the gospel to him and pray that the Lord would bring into him a relationship with Christ. And be honest with him. Say, look, I can't marry you because you're not a believer, but at the same time, I can't live with you because it's against my beliefs in Jesus Christ. So you're really putting yourself in a bad place. And I want to point something out. The penalty of sin, there's consequences to sin.
Right.
There's things we have to live with in sin. And part of what you're having to live with because of the sin that you've committed of adultery, because having sex outside of marriage with this man and having a child with this man is part of the consequences of the sin that you're now having to reap in your life. And part of that is the complex, complicated situation that you've put yourself in.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, with a child, like how do you...
With a non-believer, you've put yourself in a very, very hard situation. We understand that everyone sins, but there are consequences to that sin. And unfortunately, this is one of the huge consequences that you're going to have to deal with because of the sin in your life. And that doesn't mean that that sin can't be forgiven. That doesn't mean that restoration can't happen. But it means that this is a penalty that you're going to have to deal with in your life. But what I would do is come to him and let him know what your belief is leading you to do. Be honest with him and say, hey, this is what I'm going to have to do. We're going to have to live apart from each other. I still want to date you. I still want to...
I
still love you, but I can't marry you and we can't live together because of my relationship with Christ. If you really support that and you're really sincere about supporting me and supporting our child and supporting my relationship with God, well, then this is what that entails. You know, if you ever accept Jesus Christ, well, then we can get married. And you know, it's a really, really, really complicated situation that you really need to see a counselor on. You need to see someone who can go into it with you and with your boyfriend / baby daddy,
right.
And address those situations on a much deeper level.
And this was an anonymous one, but if this person was willing to call, that's kind of the purpose of Shock Therapy Live. We're almost out of time. But man, looking at this question, that's it. The consequence of our sin, living in a relationship with someone you're not married to, having a child, and now...
And it's continuing in sin.
The cool thing is, here's the cool thing though about this email. I look at this email and I see someone who is seeking God now and saying, hey, where do I go? What do I do?
Yeah.
And that's really the first thing. Anytime we get a crazy question like this, I'm like, wow, dude, this is an impossible situation, but nothing is impossible with God. And thank you for sending this in. You know?
And that's where it makes it hard. Turning from a lifestyle of sin is difficult sometimes.
It is.
And it requires difficult steps in doing hard, difficult things.
Yeah.
For some people that are in sin, it requires them to quit their job and go somewhere else and do something new. For other people, it requires them to move to a different state. For some people, it requires them to change everything about who they are because of that lifestyle of sin. It's a consequence to sin, and there was a few there. When you had sex with somebody that created a baby, that was a consequence of that sin. But then choosing to live with that person, continue that relationship, well, the consequence to that is it's going to be hard when that relationship has to break up if you want to do what's right. So as the longer we continue in sin, and this is maybe a realization to people that are contemplating sin that haven't yet gone into it, the longer you continue in a sin without repenting of it and changing from it, the harder it's going to be in the long run to rid yourself of that sin in your life.
Dude.
And case in point with this situation,
It
can be done. You can do what's right in the eyes of God, but it's going to be hard. And I pray that you will do what's right, but know it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But if you do it, God will bless that, and God will bless that faithfulness and that and that realization of what needs to be done.
And let me speak into that actually personally, because I, a few years ago, was in a situation where I actually had to leave. You mentioned having to leave a job. I fell into sin. I fell into temptation, and I fell headlong into sin. And I had to, because of that, leave my job. I almost lost my family. I almost lost everything. And in the midst of that, it was, as the father, as the husband, and a father of two, I have to provide for my family. But I know that I know that I know God will never bless my life in this situation as long as I'm in the same spot that I'm in. So I had to make a decision and walk away from a great job because truthfully, there was so much temptation around me that I just flat out couldn't take it. And I ended up leaving a position. And I was terrified. I had no idea where I was going. I didn't know what I was doing. But I knew that this was a decision I had to make because more important than anything else in the world was my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I had royally, royally screwed that up. And I knew that God could not bless my life as long as I was living in sin.
Yeah.
And so I had to make a serious, serious change in my life. And it cost me a lot. Yeah, it was very difficult. I remember crying and just wondering where God was that afternoon, but knowing in my heart that God was going to take care of me because I was making a conscious decision to change my life.
Did he bless that decision?
And he absolutely did. Man, not only did I find a job that actually ended up paying me more, I was able to provide for my family, I was able to take care of the things I needed to, but he put me in these amazing situations where he was able to use my crappy situation for his glory, and it actually helped shape a couple lives around me who were dealing with similar situations who stopped before they fell into that sin.
Amen.
And so God was glorified, and that's ultimately what it is. God was given glory through a really, really crappy situation that I put myself in. And so I can say, yeah, this man, when I got the email, it was like, we actually got this email last week, but it was like a contemplation of, man, this is a really difficult situation. And it is, but nothing is impossible with God. And truth hurts sometimes, but the truth is, yeah, no, you can't be living with this person. No, you should not marry this person if he is not a believer. But I do note in here that it's like, you know, he's not a believer, but he's very open with me being one and very open to us teaching our children to be Christians. And so that's something that shows me hope that, man, if he is open, present the gospel, man.
Yeah.
Share your heart with him. Share
exactly
what you want to do. And it's not out of a sense of, well, these are the rules and I can't do this. It's out of sense of, I want to love and honor and respect my God more so than I love you, but I do love you. And so here's what I'd like to do. And you never know what God can do, you know?
Yep.
So
yep.
Anyways, thank you so much for the email. We are just about out of time. That is pretty much it for
it's been a fun show.
It has been amazing. Don't forget, every Sunday night, 7 p.m., if you missed a portion of Shock Therapy Live, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. All the podcasts will have this one up tomorrow morning. For Pastor Nate Heitzig, I'm Steve-O, and yeah.
Hey, we love you guys.
And I love you, Nate. I love you so much.
I love you, Steve-O.
God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday night. We'll see you next week at 7.
I love you so much.
Good night.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.